In our gospel today, we hear about things that are lost. We hear about the lost sheep, firstly, then we hear about the lost coin, and finally, the story of the prodigal son, the lost son. In the first of these three parables, Jesus asks, "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it?" He's speaking to, of course, the Pharisees and scribes there who questioned him. And of course, the natural answer for those who understood and those who were shepherds who understood sheep in this first century, the natural answer would be, "Not me." You know, who would be crazy enough to leave all their 99 sheep in the desert and go after just one? Of course, they would lose most of the other sheep. Also, then we see that this shepherd rejoices exuberantly at finding a sheep. He even calls his friends and neighbors, and he places it on his shoulders. And we see kind of this overreaction of the joy of finding a sheep, for indeed, if you know anything about farming or animals, that you're losing animals all the time. You always have to go out and fetch them and find them, and they break through the fences. And so there's an overexuberance of joy. I think it's good to reflect, of course, on Christ being that good shepherd and why he is saying these things. But I think also we might ask ourselves if we feel lost sometimes, if we ever feel like that sheep. You know, maybe we feel lost at times in the midst of a family crisis. We feel like we're stuck in a pattern of sin, or maybe we feel like we're being smothered by our work or in a relationship. Or maybe there's some unforgiveness within my family or my friendships that are keeping my faith suppressed. Whatever it is, I know that we can all feel lost or discouraged at times, and I myself have felt that. I think, you know, one person we could learn something from in this and we could relate to is St. Augustine. St. Augustine, I think he probably also felt very lost in the early part of his life. He was, of course, very intelligent. He studied various religions. He was one who went on to study rhetoric, you know, kind of this public speaking argumentation, which was popular in the time. He lived in somewhat of a life of sin. He lived with his girlfriend and had a child out of wedlock. And then he finally began to kind of uncover some of the truths of the Christian faith. But he still struggled to let go of his former ways, and I'm sure he felt lost and confused in the midst of this life, what he was being called to, where he was at the time. And then one day it hit him when he was listening to a bishop who was speaking. And he felt the Lord call him to open up the scripture and read. And at that time when he read that scripture, he was convicted of his sins, but also in a deeper way, realizing God's love for him in such a personal way. And I'd like to share with you some of the words from St. Augustine's Confessions, which are so famous. And it's kind of how he speaks to God in that moment. He says, "Late have I loved you, beauty ever ancient, ever new, late have I loved you. You were within, but I was outside. You were with me, but I was not with you. You called, you shouted, you broke through my deafness. You banished my darkness. I tasted you, and now I hunger and thirst. You touched me, and I burned for your peace." We could see how St. Augustine, in experiencing the presence of Christ, experiencing these graces, how the Lord broke through at this time. And really, St. Augustine really had a turning point in his life after this experience with the Lord, and went on to grow into that saint that the Lord was calling him to. He began that radical change. Like St. Ambrose, and I think in our Gospels today, we could see that God, in his amazing love, is pursuing each one of us. Sometimes we think it's all us, you know, pursuing God, but really, you know, the Gospel today shows that the Lord is searching us out, that he is pursuing us. And he rejoices so much when we return to him, when we draw close to him. It's beautiful because we are, of course, made for God, made to be with God, with his peace. Of course, also this weekend, one way we can enter into this peace and this closeness with God is through the celebration of 40 hours devotion. As we have the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the great mystery of the Holy Eucharist. This is a Catholic belief going all the way back to the beginning, 2,000 years ago with Jesus. when, you know, at the Last Supper, he instituted the most holy Eucharist and said, "This is my body." We as Catholics believe this truth of transubstantiation, a big word meaning, of course, trans meaning change, substance. So that while we still see bread and wine, we know that it is truly, we truly believe as Catholics that it is the body and blood of our Lord, just as he told us. And unfortunately, over the years, in the last couple of decades, many Catholics have not been taught this truth well or don't believe it for some reason. If there's anyone here who doubts it, I would ask you, please come speak to me. Because what an amazing truth we have coming from Jesus Christ himself, that he wants that close union with each one of us, that he wants us to experience his presence in a profound way. On the altar, of course, and also on the cross, we experience his body, that Jesus is truly priest and victim. And so this weekend we honor our Lord, so we will have adoration continuing tonight all the way through the evening hours until the morning, and then even through ending tomorrow at the 10 o'clock Mass. But we will, I think one reason why, of course, we honor our Lord too is, of course, coming to receive those graces of him, to receive his love, realizing that he does pursue us. But also we have so many things that are so beautiful here at St. Cecilia's to remind us why, to remind us of who is here present. And of course, we wear our Sunday best, right, when we come to Mass, to come to receive the Lord. We genuflect when we come in, right? We genuflect bending our knee before the Lord. So as Catholics were taught, when we come in the door, we always search for the tabernacle, right? We see where our Lord is. Genuflect, placing our knee in the ground, reminding us that our Lord is present there. Of course, we also have the bells that we use at times, right? So even if we're distracted during Mass, remember these most holy points, when the Holy Spirit is called down by the priest, and when the body and blood of Christ are elevated after we experience that transubstantiation, that changing from the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. We also often use incense here, which some people may not care for, but even it echoes back to the early days, right? To even the Jews going into the Holy of Holies and to the Book of Revelation, honoring God with holy incense, the presence of God, and it reminds us of that. And of course, so all of this is because we worship and honor the Lord. It reminds us that Jesus is truly present, that we are receiving his very life within us, that he wants that close relationship with us. It reminds us, but also it gives great honor and glory to God, who we are called to worship. For indeed, it is his body that we honor today, that we receive. And he indeed is the one who loves us. He is the one who seeks us, and he is the one that pursues us.